Radio Netherlands presents Classic Dutch. The program is presented by Hélène Michaud.
Peter van Onna is a young Dutch composer who paints with color and sound. The colors are the colors of Vincent van Gogh and Salvador Dali and Piet Mondrian. Welcome, Peter. You were born in 1966. When did you start feeling the need, the urge to compose music?
I think I was about 14 years old, and I started having a guitar lessons. And I immediately started to compose also. That was a very natural thing to do for me.
And when did you actually start seeking inspiration in painting?
That was much later. I think it was in 1993.
You know the date exactly.
Because I was reading a book about art and was always interested in art and paintings. And I saw a painting by Turner, a very famous painting, Rain, Steam and Speed. It's a painting which you can see in the National Gallery in London. And I was immediately struck by it. That's how I started my cycle of orchestral pieces inspired by paintings.
Does your music always have visual elements? Do you see the music?
Do I see the music? In this case, yes, in the case of Turner. But later I got a different method of working, more concrete. A painting gives you a certain information, you know. There are certain elements in a painting which you can try to translate to music. And I do that very consciously. And I try to write program music, not unlike the romantic composers, because it's not something which you should do nowadays as a contemporary composer. And that's why I like it. You know, because I want to be stubborn and do something else than the other composers.
Well, let's listen to some of your music. You chose to present an excerpt from your Wheat Field with Lark for piano and orchestra.
That's a painting by Van Gogh, which you can see in the Amsterdam, in the Van Gogh Museum. It's a landscape. There's a blue sky and there's wheat. There's a lark in the painting. And there's a wonderful balance between the elements of the painting. It's very static, but it also has dynamics in it.
Movement
in a strange way. And the paradox between static and movement, that's how I got the idea to translate it to music.
Thank you.
I use the Japanese temple bells in my piece, at the beginning of the piece, in the middle, and at the end. And I did that to refer to the Japanese prints, which were very popular in the time of Van Gogh and his contemporaries.
And the sound of wheat, how can you translate that in music in this wheat field?
Yeah, well, I used the rattle and other instruments to translate that into sound.
Did you have to experiment a lot with sounds before you got the correct, well, let's call it translation?
No, it was not really difficult, I think. And I try to translate very directly, you know. I don't try to make it abstract, but maybe even in a very naive way. I don't see any problem with that.
I should perhaps remind our listeners that what we just heard is the second movement from your Wheat Field with Lark for piano and orchestra, and it's part of your first solo CD produced by Music Group Netherlands, which includes Radio Netherlands. So, In fact, it's one of our own CD recordings, and we're proud of them. It seems that what you're doing is more than translating images into music. Is it more than that, or is it just that?
I don't only try to translate elements from the painting into sound, but I also try to catch the atmosphere of the painting, which is for me even more important.
Do you feel that you're part of a certain Dutch tradition in composition?
No, not at all. By the way, we don't have a tradition in music, I think.
Well, there are many Dutch composers. I mean, we've heard many of them in this series.
No, I think there's a school around Louis Andriessen. But in history, we don't really produce a great composer, I think. That's why I seek inspiration in paintings, because we have a tradition in painting.
Do you feel that you're part of a school? You mentioned the school around Louis Andriessen, one of your teachers.
Yeah, but I don't belong to that school. I try to do something different, I think.
Yet Louis Andriessen is also inspired by Dutch painters. Mm-hmm. His recent opera, Writing to Vermeer, is an example of that.
Yeah, but I think he tries to write abstract music, and I try to write program music, which is a completely different way of thinking about music, I think.
I asked you for this program to select a piece by Louis Andriessen, who's one of your teachers, along with, I should name him as well, Theo Louvendi.
Yeah, yeah.
And you selected Tao from Louis Andriessen. Why do you like this piece in particular?
Because it's a very colorful piece. I heard it years ago and I found it interesting that he could write a piece like that. It's a wonderful piece. And in this piece he does something which I also try to do in my pieces. So it was interesting to see that he can think like this also.
Thank you.
to make wonderful orchestral colors. And he does that in this piece also, much more than in all his other pieces, I think.
If I were to ask you, what did you learn from Andriessen?
I think the most important thing I learned from him was to place everything you do in a historical perspective. For example, when I wrote a piece and I brought it to him, and he said, well, it's very French. And I didn't know what he meant, but you know, the impressionist composers have a way of orchestrating. Mm-hmm. You know, they subdivide the orchestra in layers. So that was a very helpful device. And I think my way of orchestrating is very French also, impressionistic, maybe even neo-impressionistic.
Are you trying to break certain taboos in contemporary music writing?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's not very logical to write program music nowadays. And not very logical to admit it. My colleagues think it's very old-fashioned, and they say, well, you shouldn't do that nowadays.
Because you don't use computers, you don't use video pictures that many contemporary composers here in Holland and elsewhere use.
No, I don't think like that in music.
Probably one of your most ambitious creations was inspired by Salvador Dali.
Yeah.
And here you have more like a picture gallery because you focus on four paintings instead of one, like with a Van Gogh.
Yeah, well, there are nine parts, and there's a prologue and an epilogue. And then there are three paintings, and there are certain transitions in between.
And there are also cross references to Vermeer and Picasso.
Yeah.
How do you weave all of this together?
Dali was also inspired by other painters. Dali was an admirer of Vermeer. That's why he painted this painting.
The Apparition of the Town of Delft.
Yeah.
And that appealed to you.
Yeah, because I live in The Hague, which is not far from Delft. And I found it interesting to use that and to translate that into music. Illustrate the town of Delft by using a carillon, which is played in the percussion by tubular bells and bell plates.
Perhaps you can explain to us what we're going to hear in the eighth part.
The title of this part is The Temptation of Saint Anthony. That's a painting by Dali. What you see is a landscape, a Spanish landscape, and you see skies, and there's a lot of depth in the painting. And there's a procession of elephants. The elephants are walking on spider legs. In the foreground, you see the Saint Anthony. And he makes a kind of gesture towards this procession. You know, and the heaviness of the procession, I try to translate that by using two bass drums and a very heavy orchestration.
Thank you.
next part.
This is an excerpt from your Dalian Images for Saxophone and Orchestra, written in 1998, mm-hmm. Peter. And when you write this, do you actually have a reproduction of the painting in front of you?
No, I work very concrete, you know. What can I use? I don't really work like a romantic composer that you get inspired by the painting and then you start writing. No, it's more calculated. I try to translate the right atmosphere from the painting to the music.
Are you insulted when people say that your music, although it's modern, is very much listenable, that it has no odd sound effects and uncomfortable dissonance and computers?
No, that's a compliment.
It's a compliment.
Yeah.
Is it important for you that your music is accessible to a wide audience?
I don't think like that. I write the music which I like. That's the best way, I think. I don't like very harsh chords which were created after the Second World War, you know, which are really a part of the avant-garde. I try to get rid of that in my own harmonies. So in a way, it's based on tradition, but also new in thinking, harmonic thinking.
What, if you were to explain it, what is it that is new about your music and your thinking?
It's a kind of reaction, revolt against the avant-garde of the
post-war
era. Yeah, I was born later in 1966, so I'm really a product of the pop music generation. I didn't learn all these dogmatic rules and of the avant-garde.
Painters and paintings, are they with you to stay, or do you see this as a phase in your writing?
Probably.
Music?
I've written 7 parts now in my cycle. And I've got ideas for more orchestral pieces, but I don't think I will still write pieces based on paintings when I'm maybe 50 or even older. I think it's a phase in my life. Myself, I'm also very curious what will be the next step.
Peter van Onna, thank you so much for helping me close this series of 10 classic Dutch programs.
You're welcome.
For me, personally, it's been a fascinating voyage through different aspects and ages of Dutch music writing and music making. Mm. For those listeners who missed a few editions, you can listen to the entire series on our website. The address is www.rnw.nl. And if you have time to write, I'd appreciate your feedback. For this, the address is letters@rnw.nl. And that's rnw.nl.
Classic Dutch was produced and presented by Hélène Michaud. The program is a Radio Netherlands production.